المرسلين رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا صدق الله العظيم
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah also yesterday, with His grace and blessings, and after Fajr yesterday, Allah gave us the tawfiq to perform His dhikr, remembrance, and the special quality of that majlis yesterday was that some guests were gathered, amongst whom were young children, youth, just like today. They are staying in this masjid, and some others who are out in the path of Allah, they were also present. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that majlis, yesterday's gathering, it was a beautiful gathering, it was an excellent gathering, it was full of blessings, this gathering of yesterday. And I'm speaking from Dalil here, proof. I'm speaking upon proof, based on proof. And on top of that, I am hopeful in Allah. There's a hadith that just as a person is hopeful in Allah, Allah Ta'ala in that same way bestows to him. So always be hopeful and desire mercy and be hopeful of Allah, the goodness from Allah. So this is my feeling and my belief. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday's majlis gathering was accepted. And on top of that, the reward of acceptance was something. If it's accepted, if Allah accepts something, then there was also a reward attached to that. In other words, there was forgiveness also attached to yesterday. So in that hope, going forward, I am requesting, I am saying that rather, and this is the dalil, the proof for this, is that anything that is accepted by Allah, whichever amal deed is accepted, it includes, it contains barakah, blessings, and due to barakah, that thing multiplies, increases. So the majlis gathering of yesterday, today the gathering is three times more in number. It's multiplied three times fold. This is the dalil, proof that Allah has accepted yesterday's gathering, and today Allah Ta'ala has increased that gathering in quantity, in magnitude. So always when there's barakah, then that thing increases. Remember this. Now here, with regards to this, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Sarhandi, I would like to share with you, present to you, one of his statements, present in your service, with regards to barakah, blessings, that we are discussing. And the hadith in which Qadman qala la ilaha illallah udkhulul jannah, that whoever has once recited the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then he will enter into paradise. So here Hazrat has responded to a question that is asked. Some people, the people who are deficient, whose understanding is narrow and who oppose and complain about what Hazrat Mujaddad is saying this. What a great status he had. It was great personality. And he said, those people who make a fuss, who respond, how can this be if you recite the kalima once, that you'll be forgiven? Just on reciting kalima once, one time over, how can this be? People question, challenge. That 70 years they've committed sins, major sins, and if he's recited the kalima once, and he'll be forgiven? They raise the question. So Hazrat responds to this doubt and query that, brothers, this kalima is such, the dhikr of this kalima is such, the barakah of its dhikr is such, the blessings of its dhikr is such, that he stated that the barakah, the blessing of the kalima is such, that not just by reciting it once, due to its barakah and blessings, people, they're not aware of its barakah. The kalima is where the Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Fathani, they said this. They said they haven't understood its barakah. But this fakir, he's speaking about himself. He said, this fakir, this humble servant is saying that the barakah that Allah Ta'ala demonstrated to me, that has been explained to me about the kalima and its barakah, the blessings of this kalima is such that it doesn't just forgive that individual. Rather, if he recites the kalima once, then the whole of the alam, the whole of the creation isn't just forgiven, but they enter into paradise. So such a great barakah in this kalima, blessings. And we see the blessings that dhikr and kalima, the blessing is so great that it's nur, light, it increases and multiplies. So here, today's majlis, the alhamdulillah, the conclusion of yesterday's blessing is such that, the jama'ah, the assembly has increased, multiplied, people have increased, and three times over it's increased. So this is the sign of what? Acceptance, the sign of acceptance. And from Allah, it's a sign of forgiveness, bakhshish. But this humble servant says that despite this, I also see something else in extra. Today, in today's majlis, and I'm grateful to Allah, I'm praising Allah Ta'ala, and what is that? That yesterday's gathering was accepted and there was forgiveness, but today's majlis, I see something more than that. What is that? That it has also become beloved, this gathering, mahbub. It has become mahbub, beloved. In other words, its status has increased, the barakah, the blessing has increased. Reason, I will present the dalil proof to explain this, that this gathering isn't just accepted, it's not just accepted, and there's not just forgiveness, but on top of that, it's become a beloved gathering of Allah, mahbub. How? An extra ingredient, you can say an extra factor has been inserted into this majlis that I've seen. What is that? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. What is it that has been added to this gathering, which Allah Ta'ala has announced in the Quran, that whoever practices the sunnah of my Habib, of my beloved, whoever imitates the sunnah of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and imitates and follows him, the Allah Ta'ala says the reward of that is not just forgiveness, bakshish and acceptance, rather that individual, the amal, the action, I make it beloved, I make him beloved. Mahbub. So this is also here in addition. And in this gathering, we have the increase of this also, that yesterday's gathering was lacking this, but today, alhamdulillah, we see nur ala nur around us, the sunnah. There are two types of individual, human. One is he who loves Allah, and the second are those who Allah Ta'ala loves. Who does Allah Ta'ala love? Just like this verse I recited just now. That brothers, that they who love Allah, alhamdulillah, they love Allah. But who does Allah Ta'ala love and like? Those who follow the sunnahs of His beloved. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, even today we have this barakah of this factor that has increased. So this is the reality, that in the same way in life, if an individual practices an amal and he lives his life, and then if he wants to become Allah's beloved, there are two ways. One is that we've done amal, we prayed salah, we've done a good deed, a righteous act, alhamdulillah, praise Allah, and it's arrived to the court of Allah. But if you want to make it beloved to Allah, that action, that via that action, Allah also starts to love you, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala makes you His beloved, and this is the highest grade status, alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala loves any particular individual, human being, then the condition that the Quran has put for that is, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, is lazim, essential, that he must, according to the sunnah, and along with the sunnah, he has to practice his deeds. Very much so, that deed will be weak, that deed will be very weak indeed, and it's obvious that this is the sign of what? Of the weakness of faith, of the weakness of iman, that the Quran is making such a big announcement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, and despite this, he doesn't have the courage and determination that he can accept this amal, that he can become the beloved servant of Allah. This is the reason that all the mahbubeen of Allah's beloved servants, they are different from normal common man. Common human beings. They pray the same salah, they keep the same fast physically, they do the same physical amal actions. But when they do an extra deed, according to the sunnah they do, any deed that they perform, they practice it according to the sunnah. When they bring the sunnah into their lives, then Allah Ta'ala, makes them different from the normal people. Allah makes somebody a mujaddad, somebody a kutub, somebody a ghawth, somebody a wali Allah. Allah Ta'ala differentiates them, singles them out. And Allah Ta'ala has said in the hadith, he stated, مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, that this is justice. That whoever imitates any people or anyone, he will be with that person. So in all circumstances we need to pay attention to this, that our life should be in accordance to the sunnah, in accordance to the naql and imitation of Nabi al-Kareem. Look, to imitate is not good, but Allah Ta'ala has given us such great fadl and grace that you can imitate my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So always whenever we see any action, anything to implement, we want to see the barakah of something, the blessing something, or the standard, the level of something, then in accordance to the hereafter, with regards to the hereafter, what is the level of this action? On which level is this amal here? What type of human being is this? This is not by speaking, it's not by talking. Rather Allah said himself, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. You, O my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people yourself. You explain to them yourself, that you can't just speak with empty words, false claims, I'm close to Allah, I love Allah so much, I'm in love with Allah, I do so much amal. Allah says these false claims will not pass. You have to present the dalil, proof alongside that. فَتَّبِعُونِ. There is the imitation in this of the Holy Prophet or not? Is that tariqah present or not? Our face, appearance, attire, walking and sitting. And who are we imitating in all of these actions? Tell me. The strangers or Allah's Nabi? We pray salah, Allah's salah, and we do naql imitate who? The strangers. Then it's not good, is it? What a ajeeb, weird thing. So all of this is that we see weakness within the insan. So in all circumstances, a person shouldn't be proud of his actions. He should be proud of that factor, that how much am I imitating? So this, as a mujaddad al-Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, according to, with regards to this barakah and blessing, in the same way he mentioned this barakah, that this increase of blessing, barakah, the precious pearls are in front of you. Allah has given the reward that Allah Ta'ala has created a jama'ah, congregation of the sunnah. Allah Ta'ala has decorated with the sunnah. And in this masjid, another reward has arisen. Another reward has arisen. So what we realize and learn, that just like now in front of us, there's a difference between yesterday and today. The yesterday's gathering was less and today it's more in magnitude. So what's the difference we see? Allah Ta'ala's reward, what we see? What do we see? The reason behind the barakah. We see the sunnah that today's jama'ah completely, totally, alhamdulillah, is in accordance to the sunnah Allah Ta'ala sent them. So this is a good thing. This is a gathering of dhikr, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And the reality of this, the reality of this, the walis of Allah understand this. Through these hadith, it is proven. Just like this hadith has Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has mentioned and narrated about dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, that in a majlis, in a gathering once, the noble companions were present, and this is the meaning of the hadith. What a great action is dhikrullah, and Allah's instilled barakah, blessing into this action of dhikr. The noble companions, their jama'ah is there, they're in an assembly, in a gathering, and the Prophet of Allah gave a great message, a beautiful message, that shall I tell you such an action, shall I not tell you such an action, the noble companions were being told, that shall I not tell you such an action, that it will be the best of all of your actions, the best of all of your deeds. And in the eyes of your Lord, it will be the most purest of actions. And it will elevate your status and level so much, so high. And furthermore, so much that if you spend gold and silver, it will be greater than that as an action. And further, if you are fighting with those who are opposed to you, you are hitting them, they are hitting you, and it will be greater than that as an action. Tell me how great a deed this will be. And who is explaining this? The Holy Prophet ﷺ is explaining to the noble companions. What a great deed it will be in action. That the Holy Prophet ﷺ is mentioning it, and it's better than all other actions. It's the greatest of all of actions. Better than all other actions. They were the Sahaba. They weren't like us people. We just listen. We just listen to them. It's not about listening, brothers. This deen, this religion is the religion of amal, action. Action. Today, learn this lesson and depart. Allah Ta'ala has given such a great reward to you that Allah seated you in the gathering of dhikr. Learn the lesson. Everything that you're hearing, you must do amal on this. Practice on this. Otherwise, you will waste this opportunity. You will waste the rewards of Allah. So what is that amal? First and foremost, in your heart, make an intention that such a great deed is being taught to us. We should make an intention. We'll definitely practice that deed. Doesn't matter how much whispering of shaitan comes, evil thoughts, negative thoughts, people, they deviate you, try to distract you, but they, in comparison to this deed, will all be a waste. So beware. Beware. Never leave this action. Rather make niyyah, intention that after today, this amal, we will bring into our lives. By not doing it, then this is the weakness of a man. That Allah's Nabi is announcing such great reward, all the noble companions are listening, and I don't practice this action, then what a big weakness of my mind is very weak. And that amal, if you practice it, subhanallah, praise be to Allah, this is the sign that your iman is being elevated, strengthened, your faith is being strengthened, made stronger. When such a great deed, the sahaba are present, such great companions, Abu Bakr Siddiq is there, Hazrat Umar is there, Siddiq, all the companions were present there, gathered. And they were desperate to ask, Ya Rasulullah, what a great action, what kind of deed can there be that gives us all this? And they called out, they said, Bala Ya Rasulullah, may our mother and father be sacrificed upon you, please tell us definitely, what is that amal? What is that action? So here we acquire a dalil, a proof, that most definitely the amal, the deed that's been explained, every companion must have done that action. Why? Because the sahaba didn't have this mannerism and style. This wasn't the style of the sahaba, that they just listened. Sami'na wa ata'na. They heard and they implemented. Yes, this should be our style. This is the style, the correct way. When Allah gives us the tawfiq, that Allah Ta'ala is making us hear something, then we shouldn't just hear it to increase our knowledge or for the sake of discussion purposes or for quarreling and argumentation and debate or just to strengthen that knowledge. No, Allah, everything comes from Allah. This is fadl. It's Allah Ta'ala who has assembled us here together. It's Allah Ta'ala who has instilled this hadith into my mind. This is Allah Ta'ala who has delivered this hadith to you, this learning to you. So how surprising it is and shocking that Allah Ta'ala has prepared our minds, Allah has prepared our hearts, Allah has prepared this gathering, Allah seated us down just for this reason, to develop the passion and the desire, just for this reason that Allah Ta'ala wanted us to hear this message. Yes, can anyone leave his home and come here? The here people are staying for 2 nights, the youngsters, can they leave their home and come? Can they leave their rest? In the holiday, a person enjoys, goes on holidays, planning, food is cooked, dishes are cooked, you've left your home and come, you're sat here, the children are sat here, they've come here. And this gathering that we see, that people aren't just from one area, they all come from different towns and cities, they've traveled here, they've traveled during the night, they've traveled. So this, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, apart from Allah Ta'ala's power and energy, nobody can do all of this apart from with Allah's permission and power. And this is Allah's achievement and miracle, that from so far Allah Ta'ala has called us and we came immediately. But the person who lives in the road near here, in the vicinity, whose house is nearby, he hasn't even come. He doesn't even know. He didn't even arrive there. Why? Because Allah gives the power and energy to the human being to perform the action, the right action. And such a great point, such a great reality, such a great jama'ah, high class jama'ah in the universe, they could not come after them, the sahaba kram, the noble companions, tell me. And there, in their presence, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's blessed statement, which we call hadith. Such a great statement and fact, after hearing it, the master of the two worlds, ﷺ, after hearing his great words, that human being would become a sahabi, and they would become the greatest human beings in the history of mankind, and the message that was given to them. Think about it. It's not a minor thing, this hadith. That hadith, for listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, He gave us the opportunity, and how ungrateful we are. Allah Ta'ala prepared, Allah has given us His favor, Ahsan, that we can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Tomorrow, death, we have no guarantee. When will death come? There's no guarantee that can we be saved from the severity of death. Allah has given us a chance. Allah has explained to us the amal, the action. So if we don't implement the action, we just listen and we depart and go, then we are the same the next morning. Can there be anyone more ungrateful than that man? Tell me. So listen to that action. What can that action be? We need to do this deed. Rather, we will have to do this action. Because Allah Ta'ala has invited us here and told us, instructed us, do it, this action. Allah Ta'ala, we can't make an excuse to Allah. Allah was lazy, negligent, or this happened, that happened. Totally not at all. Allah Ta'ala said, cannot be that I favored you in such a way, a great way, and you are ungrateful to me, that you did not bring the action into your life. You didn't value it. You didn't appreciate my words. You didn't value the hadith of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to be grateful for this fact, the teaching that Allah Ta'ala has favored us with, how do we show our gratitude to this? We will implement that action. If we practice it, then we will be grateful. Yes. So when Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, shall I not tell you an action which will be the best from all of your deeds, actions, do it. That's what it means. That it will be the best of all of your actions. Your Malik, yani Allah, in His eyes, it is the most purest of deeds. And it will elevate your darajat status most of all, from all of the actions. And however much sadaqah you do, charity, you spend gold and silver, doesn't matter how much you spend, it will be better than that. And if you're fighting with those who are opposed to you, it's better than that. Such a great amal. In action, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and what did the noble companion say? Bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please, definitely, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. Please tell us, how can we leave this action? How can we discard this action? Please tell us, instruct us, what is that amal? Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that deed. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So in this hadith we are told that the dhikr of Allah, it has gone beyond and surpassed all the other actions, is better than all of the other actions. Look, stated, the all better than all of the deeds. Then obviously this is the first point that Rasulullah said, I will not tell you an action which will be the best of all of your deeds. In Amal we have Salah, fasting, Hajj, Zakat, Tilawah, recitation of Quran, and Dhikr has gone better than all of them. Can you reject this? No, because Rasulullah is telling us this, stating this. Tell me, how can a person leave this action? The reason for this, our leaving it, is a little explanation for them. Salah is Salah. And the Farai, the compulsory actions, Hajj is Hajj, fasting is fasting, nothing can be increased from these fard actions. Remember this, such a great hadith. Then the hereafter, only he will be successful, whose salah is successful. Whoever salah is correct. Not that he leaves salah and starts doing dhikr. Understand the hadith. The why is dhikr being made greater? The point here is this, that all the actions that we will implement, every action, Allah Ta'ala will accept at that time. At that time you'll get the ajr reward when there will be ikhlas in that deed. Sincerity is the underlying factor. If you don't have ikhlas, sincerity in your deeds, doesn't matter how much salah you take with you, it'll be thrown back in your face. The fasting will be thrown back in your face. Your ibadat, worship will be thrown back in your face. Because in the hereafter, the scale of justice, mizan, it won't count, it will weigh. Yes, indeed. So that's why dhikr has been made afdal, greater. That along with every amal, you need ikhlas, sincerity. And how will ikhlas come into your heart? How will it arrive? Allah Ta'ala has prepared that ikhlas. If you want to develop it, then perform dhikrullah to develop ikhlas, sincerity. Remember this. That's why dhikr has become greater. So dhikrullah creates sincerity. When sincerity is developed, then it becomes the noor of your salah. An action in the same way. It's been stated that in the eyes of Allah will be the most purest of the deeds. We say all actions are pure, and Hajj and all other actions are pure. So why is Allah Ta'ala made dhikr as an example to be pure? For this reason, that dhikr purifies a person. Makes him clean. This hadith, isn't it? In hadith is stated that everything, there's a polishing, cleaning agent, everything. Kullu shayin sakalatan qalbi dhikrillah. So because dhikr purifies, it cleans, it extracts all the sins that are stuck in our batin, hasad, anger and malice, all the dirt that's accumulated within us. The function of dhikr is that when a person does dhikr, then the dhikr purifies him, cleans him and extracts all of the sins and darkness. So from here we have another hint, guidance, that if you want to take out the dirt, your anger, hasad and jealousy and greed and dunya, then you cannot cure this issue through any other action. Only through dhikr of Allah will these sins be extracted. Today we make big complaints, I pray salah, then I have bad thoughts, dirty thoughts, I pray salah, I commit a mistake again, I pray salah, even then I do wrong, I pray salah, even then I do bad actions, I have come back from Hajj, even then I commit the sins. Today every man is uttering this statement, he thinks about it, becomes upset, distressed. So my brothers, the hadith is explained this, that what should you do? Do the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, and these things inshallah will disappear. And the third point that's been stated in this hadith, that it will elevate your status to the highest level from all compared to all the actions. This amal, the dhikr of Allah, the human being's darajat, his level, it will elevate his status, increase his status. Because there are many darajat levels in paradise. How many are there? And the high class jannah person, that what will take a person to the high class jannah? That action, that person who has the high class darajat levels. So in this world and in the hereafter, whoever's status is higher, it is due to and via the dhikr of Allah. In the dunya, how is his status elevated? What are the darajat of the dunya? These are not darajat. He's become so rich and he studies this much, educated, knowledge. This is not that wealth. That this is the level. Why is he higher? Because he's become a ghawth, a kutub, a wali. These are the darajat in the dunya. All the darajat, the levels have been attained by the pious predecessors, whoever's attained to the high rank. They haven't arrived there via ibadah, worship. This hadith proves this, that their darajat have been increased. Somebody became a ghawth, somebody became a kutub, and they have the desire, the passion for this, that we want to be friends of Allah. Walis walam, we should become this. This should be our target, brothers. Every man should have this target. So if you desire this, then the hadith proves this point, that if you want to elevate the status in the world, you want to draw nearer to your Rabb Allah, then this sift, you can only get in the dhikr of Allah. As a person that continues to do dhikr of Allah, he gets close to Allah. Close to Allah. In other words, a sinful person, when he starts doing dhikr, then his sin starts to disappear and evaporate. Then he starts dhikr again. Alhamdulillah, he starts to become pious. Then he does dhikr again. The more he does, continues to do dhikr, his darajat and levels will continue to increase. The hadith is telling us this. So, these are the levels of the dunya where you get status. So in the akhirah, what will be the rank and the status of doing dhikr? What will be the side, those people who do dhikr, the people in the hereafter, how great will be their darjah? Then this, listen to this hadith verse, that those people who do dhikr Allah as a wahid, the only action do, and their style of entering into paradise will be totally separate and different. What will happen? In the hadith is stated that the dhakireen, those who remember they're going to join in this way, then their hands, there will be flags, standards. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala, for the dhakireen, for those who remember Allah, the paradise door Allah will keep separate for them so they can enter into paradise as VIPs. Very important verses. So those men and women will go into paradise, they'll have the flag in the hand, and Allah Ta'ala will open the gate to paradise, select, and they'll be like VIPs and they'll go into Jannah, paradise. And another sight that will be seen with regards to the status of dhakirin, in the plane of resurrection, the whole dunya will be present. What will be there, the opportunity at that time, that there will be thrones made of pearls, and there will be the fragrance of musk on the day of judgment, resurrection, when people won't have consciousness, there will be a jama'ah sat down, whose faces will shine and sparkle like the moon on the 14th night. It will be asked, there will be dismayed people on the day of judgment. Allah, who are these people? And Allah's Nabi asked the Sahaba Ikram, they said, Ya Rasul, who will they be, those people, that their faces will be shining like the 14th night of the moon? And who are those people that will be welcomed in a great way? Allah's Nabi replied that these will be those people, subhanAllah. These will be those people that inside the world, one place they assembled and they performed, used to perform the dhikr of Allah. And you, why have you come to this here? Why are you gathered today? Alhamdulillah, you have come here and gathered for the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given you this reward that you do the dhikr of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is giving you the proof amalan that tomorrow you are the same people whose faces will be shining here. Subhanallah. So hey Allah Ta'ala, look how He's called you in my heart. It wasn't even the thought that you will come. So yesterday after Maghrib, I came back after praying Maghrib, and suddenly in my heart the thought came that, oh, they're from close by, call them tomorrow in the gathering. Then after a little while another thought came, no yaar, why don't we call this person also? And the numbers increase till Isha, from Fajr until Fajr. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has created what we see around us now, the magnitude of this gathering. So brothers, you are very great human beings, mashallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited you, called you and given you a message. And I'm speaking here from my thoughts and my mind, that those people who will be in Jannah and their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night, they'll be sat on the precious thrones. Allah Ta'ala has proven here, these are those people who have come here today. So brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in today's majlis, Allah wanted to share this hadith with us, make us hear it. And for hearing this hadith, Allah gathered select sisters, women folk, select men folk. And Allah ta'ala also prepared those women folk and men folk who cannot come. Then they were gathered and assembled online. And especially those who have come in the path of Allah, those who are gathered here, those children, their youth who are sat here for 2 days, they've come during this period, during this time, Allah Ta'ala has also included them in this, alhamdulillah. So all of this, what I have requested and presented to you, this is all based on Quran and Hadith. Can anybody reject this? So my brothers, when such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and then we should implement it, then don't be lazy in dhikrullah. Shaitan and waswasa, they will come, whispering of shaitan, evil thoughts will come, present to them as an answer this hadith. Hadith is saying this, why are you making me afraid of this gathering of dhikr? Why are you trying to make me weak? Openly come regularly and sit in the dhikr. So today, Allah Ta'ala has given us this message number one, that do amal, practice in accordance to the sunnahs of Rasulullah SAW. And if you want to become the beloved of Allah, and secondly, the claim we make that we love Allah, I'm praying salah for Allah, for loving Allah, I'm keeping the fast, and to attain Allah, I'm reciting the Quran. Allah says this is wrong. The proof of that is one, that are you practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Allah, and Rasulullah told this to the Sahaba, that as the generation progresses and the era progress, this fitna will increase. There'll be masjids, there'll be ashik Rasul, there'll be all sorts of people, and weird dramas will play out. They'll have the name of ishq Rasul, lover of Rasulullah, and many sects will form. Every man will say, I'm a lover of Rasulullah, and he'll cry in front of you, shout out, and recite nasheeds and naats, and food will be distributed, and he'll recite a lot, and he'll do a lot of sujood, prostration. Some people do a lot of hajj and a lot of umrah. So much they will be there. And he stated all of these sects, they will be batil, false. There will only be one sect which is in the haq, whose attire, whose face, whose character, whose zahir, whose batin is in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Mahdi, Mahdi al-Islam, will come for this very reason, to end this fitna, turmoil, disorder. When this turmoil is spread and created, that every man will claim incorrectly that I'm on the right path, I pray salah, I'm this, I've got this ilm, I've got this knowledge, I've got this. But Allah's Nabi says, I'm stating, all of this is just to see your people, how great is he, a wali, how great a paisal is he, how great a scholar is he, how great an hafiz is he, and how great Quran is recited. There's only one thing, one basis for success, subhanallah, that to see how much amal and practice does this person do in the sunnah. If you want to be safe from the fitnas and disorder of Dajjal, this is all fitna. This disease that you see around us is all fitna. If you want to be safe from this disease and illness, this is fitna. Vaccine will not save you or us or me. What will save me and us? What is the cure for this fitna? Sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the era will come, that generation will come. And I'll say, oh no, I've got the Quran's enough for me, I'm strong with the Quran, I just recite this much Quran. The Kaaba is enough for me, some people say. And some people say that this is enough for me, I don't need to practice the sunnah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beware, how dare you, that they will be the most munkar of all who claim these empty claims. Don't listen to them. Don't look at anything in their life. Just look at one thing. Then this person, in this action I'm doing, is there ittiba' imitation of Rasulullah or not? When the reward is explained, the Sahaba Ikram Noble Companions were amazed that they said that Allah will give such a great reward in that day, in that era for my sunnah. The man habbas sunnati for man habbani, the whoever loves my sunnah, I will love him. And another hadith, brothers, listen, what a great reward, that the Sahaba were dismayed. The whoever follows my one sunnah. And what is the fitna at that time? Now it's a small sunnah, what's in it? Why do you follow this small sunnah? This is not necessary, is it? This is fitna, turmoil, disorder. So Rasulullah gives the answer in this hadith. Some people say, imamah is a small sunnah, what difference does it make? Small sin, miswak is a small sin, sunnah. And what's the point of wearing white attire, libas? Small sunnah, imamah is not just sunnah, topi, cap is also sunnah. So Rasulullah is giving an answer him. What a great answer to eliminate this fitna. He stated that, remember that the smallest scale sunnah, that was the smallest sunnah of mine, said Rasulullah. What do we learn here? That there is no such thing as a small sin. Allah Ta'ala says that whoever does amal on even the smallest scale of sunnah, then it's lazim. What's the word that's been explained? That even the minor, smallest of sunnahs, if somebody does amal, then Allah says that I'll give him 100 shaheed thawab reward. Here we get a proof that okay, and that after the era, the generation of Rasulullah, there will be harder work, more focus, more effort, more fitness. But we can't make the excuse that that was an easy generation, people practiced. And how can we practice this deen? Then here, this is not the case. That's a false claim. Look at the rewards. They were given such a great reward for practicing the sunnah. But today, if you do imitation of one sunnah, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. So the cure for every fitna, Rasulullah gave, that the jali fitna will come. The fitna of illness will come. Beware, there's only one cure. What is that? Live your life in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That bring the sunnah into your life, onto your face, appearance. Don't consider any sunnah as a minor. Remember this, that if you take a miswak and you use it, 1,000 illnesses will evaporate. If you wear the imamah, 1,000 illnesses will evaporate. In other words, if you compare to your issues with the sunnah, the assistance of the sunnah, and you will oppose these things. Overcome these things. And if something's making you go down, it's not necessary to do this, that, then understand straight away that this individual is creating the jali fitna. And he has got a weak connection with the deen. And totally his iman is weak. But that, for example, that Rasulullah's Nabi is saying that success is via this action. So never on this fitna, point a finger, never doubt it. That make it solid in your lifestyle. That every action, whatever I will become and I will achieve via the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So two doubts shaitan creates. Oh, I'm ashamed, what will people say? Subhanallah. If I wear imamah, I'm ashamed, what will they say? If I wear the attire of the sunnah, I'm ashamed, what will people say? This is also another philosophy that's come about. A deep, weird statement of shame, my brothers. A unique statement. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that today you are ashamed of my sunnahs, tomorrow I will be ashamed to give you intercession. This is our weakness. We accept this. He says, I accept this. I accept the sunnah. Iman accepts it. So one thing is left then. That inside there's weakness. We don't have courage, determination. How do I do action on this? The heart is feeling like it. And you accept that this is wrong. But there's one disease which you say is there's weakness in it. And today in this day and age, that is widespread. How can I do it? How can I be grateful? So Allah Ta'ala has also given the cure for that. Then when you see such a weakness, that such a great amal and action, you couldn't do it, or you're not doing it, you're not practicing it, it's hard for you to do, what's the cure for that? قُولُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Then sit next to a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. You shouldn't say, I'm weak, what can I do? I'm forced to do this, I can't practice the sunnah, I try my best, do dua for me. And today, we play games and tricks with Allah, oh just do dua for me, and glance at me, so I can get the fares and blessings, so I can be successful. And then I will try more from tomorrow morning. This is not the excuse. Because when a person becomes ill, does he say this? No, I've no need for medicine, I won't eat. Immediately he'll go to the doctor and say, I've got a stomach ache, I've got a pain in my eye, I've got this. Do we not run to Allah to correct our issues? At that time as well, don't we say we're weak? This is shaitani whispering. So at that time when you are weak, you will see that you're not doing the amal, you're not practicing the sunnah, and he is a sunnati. That if you see your salah is not being improved and there's weakness in your deen, then immediately do that cure, implement it. Allah said, قُولُوا مَا صَادِقِينَ. SubhanAllah, go and sit with that person. So, all of these things, my friends, Allah Ta'ala has explained to us. We have heard this, alhamdulillah, and also now we need to make niyyah intention, we need to make effort, that we, two, three things, that the duties, that the message Allah Ta'ala has given to us, first and foremost, Allah Ta'ala said, that Rasulullah ﷺ sunnah, practice it. The second message Allah gave is that the greatest action that elevates all of your amal is the dhikr of Allah. Establish it. And just like the verse that I recited, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, that do dhikr in abundance, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا, and two special times Allah has allotted for his dhikr. The two times that be regular intenders of dhikr in morning and evening. So make this a solid action, permanent action, that dhikr in the morning and the evening dhikr, definitely in all ways or form circumstances I'm going to do it. Yes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He accept this gathering of ours, and may Allah ta'ala accept our sitting. Now we will come towards the action that Allah ta'ala has assembled us for, gathered us for, and we'll be grateful to Allah for the point of what? Due to the dhikr of Allah, with the dhikr of Allah. So we'll do dhikr of Allah. Those who were gathered yesterday, they understand what is dhikr. Inshallah, we will do layout dhikr, we'll do jahil dhikr. And will gratefulness, gratitude to Allah is such that with a lot of love, just so that we understand that we understand there's nothing to be ashamed about here. Every person, just like I recite the kalama, you should also repeat the kalama after me with passion. Everyone has to recite it loudly. Don't scream out. Rather with a nice voice in which there's enjoyment. And you have to recite these kalamat. And Allah Ta'ala says that these are great kalamat. And recite them in the proper way. And then we'll do the dhikr of Allah after that also.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين شفيع المؤمنين طه وياسين على حبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وزرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا هدينا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقتها جاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل کرم سے ہمارے اس مجلس کو قبول فرما, ہمارے صغیرہ اور کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ یا اللہ اس مجلس کو ہماری آخرت کی رسائی کا یا کامیابی کا ذریعہ بنا. اے میرے مولا جو بھی حضرات اس محفل میں عورت مرد یا اللہ جو شامل ہوئے ہیں جس طریقے سے بھی میرے مولا, ان سب کی بخشش فرما, ان کے درجات بلند فرما, اپنی شان کے مطابق میرے مولا ان کو انعامات نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما, جو پریشان حال ہیں میرے مولا ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. یا اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو اولاد کی نعمت سے نواز دے. اے میرے مولا تو ہماری رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما, ہماری زندگی میں برکت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہماری عبادات میں برکت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تو ہماری آج کے اس مجلس کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ بار بار ہمیں ذکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جس اپنے فضل و کرم سے جو باتیں تو نے ہمیں سنوائی میرے مولا, ان پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تو ہمیں ان باتوں پہ عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, ہمارے اساتذہ کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے مشائخ کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.